Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, dealing with a personal problem, part one of two. In 2008, we published a podcast called Managing Through a Personal Crisis, I think, and that was a cast developed to help managers deal with directs who were having problems. Unfortunately, as yet, not every manager in the world has heard that cast and will deal with your personal crisis in a way sometimes that we don't recommend. So I think it's time we address the other side of the coin. What advice do we have for directs, for individual contributors or managers who have a personal problem and like some advice on how to handle that with their boss?
Yeah, basically, what can you do to help your manager help you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And particularly for those managers who might need a little help.
Yeah. And frankly, I think that's most managers. I think managers fall into two categories. I wish there were a third. The two categories are just benign neglect. Oh, God, I can't believe this person has a problem. Oh, it's going to be a hassle. Or kind of growling all the time about it. Yeah, if you need time, take time. But really not systemically addressing it or really solving the problem or understanding the problem. And then other managers who punish it. And there's a way to be proactive that works. But because we can't manage our boss, the best thing to do is to manage ourselves effectively, right? That's what a professional does. So when it comes to dealing with a personal problem, from your individual career perspective, when you have a child with cancer or a spouse who's sick or you're sick, or you have difficulties that affect your ability to be on time or your ability to do the work in some fashion, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever, we have five recommendations. And we try very hard to be seen as sensitive here at Career Tools and Manager Tools. But our first point is do the work first, which we'll explain in a little more detail later. But too many people forget it and they rue the day later. So do the work first is point number one. Then you've got to address the issue. You've got to talk about it. Then number three, we recommend you ask for support. Number four, you ask for guidance. And number five, the thing that people tend to forget about, and they just think once it's happened, they want to forget about it, particularly if they feel like they're dragging the team down or if they're not performing well, and that's communicate more. None of this is hard to do. It happens during a tough time. For many of you, you're going to want to keep this class close because you're probably going to forget it and think, oh, that didn't really apply to me. But as someone who has been through several challenging times in my life, I wish I'd have known more of this years and years and years ago.
Well, we're here to help people effectively navigate this problem they're having with their boss. And yet the first thing you're going to tell folks to do is to do their work first. Why? That sounds really understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't misunderstand us here. We're not ogres. Please, folks, we're not suggesting work comes before family or certainly before your health. But as professionals, we have an obligation not to some abstract concept of a workplace or to the company, but rather to our duties and to the professionals with whom we work. So when that crisis strikes, we do recommend you spend a little time in the beginning thinking about how you're going to discharge your work responsibilities. And spend some time on communicating that appropriately so that you can be sure that work is handled and you can devote the time you need to your sick child or your parent or your own rehab, whatever the case might be. Do the work first so that you can focus appropriately on your family or whatever issue is at hand. You know, one of the things scientists tell us about how we live today is that we spend our time at work thinking about being with our kids, and our time with our kids thinking about work.
Isn't that crazy? But yeah, you're right.
When we're in a movie, we think about housework. When we're doing housework, we think about all the chores we're supposed to be doing. There's sort of a low level of stress that can often develop into other issues. And what we're asking you to do first is spend a little time sorting the work issues out and the impact that your personal problem is going to have on work, so you can then concentrate on the more important issue. We're not suggesting work is more important. We're suggesting just because you have a personal problem doesn't mean you don't have work obligations. And if you'll spend a few minutes that so many people won't on solving your work issues or at least stepping forward and communicating about them a little bit, it will allow you to spend a lot more time focusing and focusing more effectively on the issue at hand.
And we're not suggesting you have to do this all at once, though, right? I mean, if you're in an ambulance on the way to the hospital with your kid, you don't need to spend, you know, 2 hours coming up with a work plan, right? I mean,
yeah, look, in that case, all you need to do is leave a message for your boss, telling him where you're going. If you were my boss, I'd say, Mike, sorry I didn't get you. This is Mark. I'm on the way to the hospital with my son. I expect to be unavailable for a few hours. Nothing life-threatening, but as soon as I know something, I'll be back in touch with text or voicemail or email. Okay. You know, tell your boss where you're going, why you're going there, and whether you expect to be at work that day. And look, if you're in the ambulance on the way to the hospital with your child, you probably won't be going into work that day, but it depends. I remember one time somebody who had 5 kids once said, my station wagon, this was years and years and years ago, folks, before minivans. He says, my station wagon is the only one in our town that when it started up, it assumes it's going to the emergency room. Now, look, if you are in the ambulance, if you really can't face doing that, if you can't call your boss, lack of a relationship with your boss, totally focused, ask somebody else to do it for you. You could ask a professional who's around the situation. You could say, look, here's my phone. My boss's name and so-and-so. Call him, please, and say, hey, this is the paramedic, and I'm with Joe Smith, and Joe's getting in the ambulance to take his son to the hospital.
And the great thing about this is that once you've done that, now you don't have to worry about it. Now it's not that low-grade fever in the back of your head.
Yes.
And you can spend the rest of the day concentrating on your child's need or your spouse's need or whatever the emergency is at the time.
Exactly. Look, in a scenario we obviously wouldn't wish on anybody, you might establish that your child is going to be in the hospital for several days. And at that point, you can call your boss again or obviously have somebody do it for you and tell them that. And there may be some additional steps you can follow that we recommend also. If it's a longer-term illness for you or for a loved one, then you'll need to go through all the steps we outline, and we're going to talk about that here in a bit, in order for you to have as much of your intention as possible on the people who need you at the time. Now, look, we've indicated, well, okay, is it short-term or is it long-term? Well, basically, crises take two forms. Acute crises, short-term ones, and chronic ones or longer-term ones. An acute crisis might be what we've mentioned, right? Taking your child to the hospital with a cut and needs stitches, right? It's traumatic, it's urgent, and hopefully it's likely to be over within 24 hours. You might need to leave work right now, but you'll probably be back tomorrow. And, you know, for those of us who have kids, you know, amazingly, our children are usually playing happily an hour after getting home from the hospital.
Yeah, we're still upset about it. Yeah. They're just fine.
Yeah. Right? A chronic crisis might be a terminally ill spouse or parent that needs a great deal of care. In that case, the crisis is going to be months, perhaps, and you might have to work part or full time during that duration. And so the way we tend to recommend you think about your problems is to consider both the impact of the crisis and the duration of the crisis. So we've got a 2x2 matrix, short and long term and low impact and high impact. Okay. So let's go through all four possibilities and talk about what are reasonable or what's smart so that you can see how they're a little bit different.
So why don't we start in my mind, reader's mind may be different, is the lower left-hand corner, which would be short-term, low impact.
Okay. If you're hopefully going to be gone less than 24 hours, then it's usually enough to forward your phone to voicemail, right? And frankly, if you're not in the office, you don't have to do that because it'll probably get to voicemail sooner or later. You can put an out-of-office message on your phone and just tell your boss where you're going. And if you don't want to call your boss for some reason, or you try him or her and you get their cell phone and you feel like it's important, they know firsthand, call somebody else you can get who's at the office and tell them, look, go find the boss. This is important. I'm in an ambulance with my son. Okay. I don't mean to pick on sons. Maybe I need to see daughter every once in a while. Now, look, it's usually enough to forward your phone to voicemail and do these things, right? Now, for those of you who are thinking, yeah, it might be usually enough, but you just don't know my boss. Look, we hear you. We understand that bosses can make a difference. We ask you to stick with us through the recommendations. We're going to have guidance on how your boss might behave and what you can do about it and how to approach that as we go through this, okay?
Good.
So short-term, low impact, pretty straightforward.
Okay. So how about moving off to the right, long-term, low impact. So
right.
Chronic problem that has kind of a low impact.
Right. So an illness maybe you have, your own illness, which is controlled well by, say, medicine or some sort of periodic rehab or something like that. In that case, you might have a few extra sick days, but in general, you'll be able to perform at work. Because you probably, in those situations, can accurately predict the effects that are going to be in your life, you can prepare for them. You may not know which day you're going to be sick, but if you know you're likely to take a few extra days, we recommend you consider cross-training a colleague on the most important parts of your job, and maybe what needs to do in any given weekly cycle. So many organizations have weekly cycles. Spend some time creating some work instructions. Now, interestingly, I mentioned this to somebody a while ago who was going to be in and out of work, and they said, well, that'll be more work. I said, well, I'm really sorry about that, but...
You didn't have the magic pill that day, huh?
Yeah, this is going to be more work. And if you're going to be out of the office, if you have professional obligations in an office and you are away for that office for more than a normal period of time, we'll leave it up to you to define normal, then you have to do some extra work to make things work smoothly. Otherwise, you're saying you're not important when you're there, so therefore, if I'm not there, it won't be any big deal. If you're important while you're there, then if you're not there, somebody else is doing your work. If you're not doing it, somebody else has to do it, and they're not going to do it as well as you, so you have some obligation to make it easier for them while you're gone, okay? Cross-train a colleague, okay? Create work instructions. Create a list of passwords and document files which are accessible so that when you're gone, other people can carry on without you. Consider making available some sort of situation where you're available to the phone for a few hours a day.
Hey, look at Nate. If you're really smart, you do this well before you had the emergency or the sickness. I mean, this would probably be useful for anybody to do.
Exactly. This is just professional sort of self succession planning, right? Everybody else knowing what everybody else does. Okay. What about, let's move up the scale though, right?
Okay. So now be short term. Okay. So something not lasting a long time, but having a fairly high impact.
Right. An acute problem short term with high impact could be emergency surgery, a car accident. Maybe you're likely to be gone for a couple of weeks and you literally have no way to do any preparation. In this case, as soon as you're able, make a list. You can have somebody else write it for you if you're in a hospital bed of the urgent tasks that need doing. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, well, wait a minute, you know, gosh, I feel bad. My job's so important. I probably should have done something about this beforehand. Yes, you should have. And we encourage you to do that as well. But in the event that you have not, if you can work out who could do the work for you, then tell them that too. Give them your password for your email and for your phone so your colleagues can get back to people who are trying to get a hold of you. Give all this information to your boss or have somebody do it for you. Yes, it's reasonable to be in a hospital bed and to ask your spouse to take some notes about what they need to communicate to your boss if you can't communicate to your boss. Okay? And we don't think it's fair for you to be, let's use the phrase, coherent, and to completely ignore work if you've missed a week or two of work. We think you have an obligation to communicate with someone, even if somebody from work comes to see you, and spend some time helping them over the hump that's caused by you being gone. We want you to be not indispensable, but important at work. We want your work to be valued. We want it to be inextricably linked to the value that your team or your group creates for the larger organization. And that means when you're gone, you're missed. And so when you have time, when you're missed, you need to make it as easy as possible on the rest of the folks.
That makes sense. Okay. Now, the harder one, long-term high impact.
Yeah. A chronic problem with a high impact could be a long-term sickness or a surgery with a long recovery time, meaning you're off work for an extended time. Obviously, if you have preparation time, you're going to be exceptionally busy, okay? We would like to suggest that if you know a month in advance that you're going to have surgery and be out for 2, 3, 4 months, you're going to be incredibly busy in the next month, making it possible for things to continue without you. And let me give you an example of something related to this that I feel has gone poorly in the work world in the last 10 years. The number of women who are, to their great good fortune, having children. And I talk to a lot of women who worry about getting back to work quickly. It's great if you can do that. And yet part of it is because they say, I don't have time to prepare for being out. And I would argue that I know so many people, not picking on women here, but so many people who have gotten ready to go on vacation and have made vacation and have gotten everything done in the last week of work. I can't believe that a month before, knowing you're going to be out for a month or 6 weeks, that you can't spend an extra 2 hours, drop some of the less important stuff, and really focus on building a bridge over the period of time, the month or 2 months that you're out. I'm sure saying that will not endear me to some of our female listeners. I apologize for that. But I feel like if you're going to be out, if you know you're going to be out for a month or 6 weeks, good, it's okay. And you have an obligation to build a very strong bridge when you know months in advance that you're going to be out for that period of time. When you're out, be out. Focus on your family. And the way to do that is not try to take calls 3 days after you're home. Maybe spend a little bit of time, but rather also focus on your child and you and your husband and your family, and you can prepare for that in advance. You can work with your boss to create a plan to cover your work. You can work with your colleagues to create a plan. You can warn customers. You can warn colleagues. Let them know who their new contacts will be. You will invariably be asked by people with whom you feel no obligation to be candid with where you're going. If that's a problem, because let's say it's not a joyful event like the birth of a baby, although you may prefer not to share that as well, practice, this sounds corny, but practice a non-committal answer rather than being caught and being uncomfortable not answering the question.
Let's go back to a little bit. You said work with your boss and colleagues to create a plan to cover your work. And I just want to stress a little bit that work with your colleagues. This is not a matter of creating a document and handing it to your boss and say, okay, here's all the things I do. Good luck with that, right? you can work with other members of your team and go to your boss with a plan on who's going to cover what you do when you're gone. Don't just dump it on your boss. You know what you do. You know who's best on the team to do that work. I'm sure the boss has some ideas there as well, but you know enough of your job, you know the team well enough that you can make it easier for your boss by presenting a plan to him or her.
Yep, exactly. And look, you may have no preparation time, in which case you follow the steps we recommended for short-term high impact. That is, make a list of the urgent tasks that need doing. If you can work out who could do the work for you, tell them that they're on the list. Ask them to help if you think they're willing to do so. Give them your password for your email. And I had somebody say to me once, I can't imagine you expect me to give my email password out to someone else. I said, I don't know if you realize this or not, but everybody in IT already has it. and in large organizations, auditors look at email randomly all the time. So give them your password for your email and for your phone so your colleagues can get back to people who are trying to get a hold of you. Give all this information to your boss. Frankly, what I like to think of is, as you mentioned, don't just dump it on your boss, but rather come up with a plan and then brief your boss on the plan rather than saying, hey, I'm out. Here are my passwords. I hope you can figure everything out.
Yeah. And this is a case, frankly, with longer term absences, is that once you've done this job of preparing and helping your boss with kind of a transition plan, then when you're gone, you're out, forget about work. There's not much that you can do to impact it anyways. Forget about it. Do the work up front so that you can then focus on whatever recovery or illness or the birth, or taking care of your child or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think if you come back in 6 months, you know, definitely you want to stay in contact, but forget about the details, right? And if you come back in 6 months, the place is going to be totally different. The stuff you were worried about, either they've totally blown it and they've come up with a new way to handle it and they've discovered not a great drop in quality, or they've done it just fine and there have been a couple of bumps and bruises along the way and they've discovered that it's not indispensable or critical. And you spending energy on it when you can't solve it doesn't do the organization, and certainly not you, any good.
Yeah. And don't get us wrong here. We're not saying, you know, don't communicate for the next 6 months. What we're saying is just forget about it on a day-to-day basis. We'll talk a little bit later about, you know, checking in every once in a while. But certainly the day-to-day or week-to-week, get past it.
Right. Look, your boss's responsibility is to the organization. It is to ensure her team is doing the work and getting results. The organization's responsibility is to shareholders and customers. Your responsibility is to yourself, your family, and your firm. You do have some responsibility for ensuring that your boss and the organization can continue to discharge their responsibilities.
Okay. Now, what if your boss is a tyrant, though, right? She has no personal life and absolutely no tolerance for your so-called weakness. What do you do then?
Yeah, I guess it's what if what usually works is an affront to her and her kingdom of servitude.
There you go.
Yeah. Look, we recommend you still follow the steps we're outlining. Keeping in touch, giving updates, ensuring work is handled in your absence is the easiest way to prevent a tyrant boss from finding anything he or she can fault you on. But look, there's nothing we can do here if your boss is a jerk. Others will tell you to try to manipulate him or her or come up with a clever plan that they won't see through, but we're not going to do that. You can't control your boss, and by the same token, we're not going to tell your directs to do that to you. We find that unethical. You can't control your boss. You can only control yourself, okay? Use the leverage you have, which is leverage on yourself. Behave professionally and know that sometimes, yes, even good deeds get punished, right? I remember being chastised vehemently for being asked by my bosses, hey, look, we really need feedback from you. We're going to hire somebody else in a significant role. We really want to hear what your experience has been like at our firm and tell us. And I said, well, I'm a little uncomfortable. No, really, we mean it. We'd like it. We're encouraged. No, really, it's not something I'm used to. My military experience. No. We really want to hear. We've got a totally open mind. We want to make sure we do even better for the next person. So glad things are working out well with you. And I said, well, okay, here's a couple of things. I said, this is good and this is good, but these two things, this is really, it's just not great. I got called up next day. I got called upstairs and was told in no uncertain term if I ever said something like that again that they'd fire me so fast it'd make my head spin. And they were rude and vulgar about it.
Yeah. Well, do you fall off a turnip truck or something?
Yeah. I mean, I look, smile at people on your way up. You'll see them on the way back down. And don't make the same mistakes I did. Look, the standard you want to apply to this situation is how do I want to look back on my behavior? Character is not what you take of yourself into a tough situation, but it's what you take of yourself that you keep with you when you're done with that situation. In all the crises I've had, I've been lucky. I've had people that have given me guidance and so on. I look back and I have almost no regrets about how I've behaved when the chips were really, really, really down. And even though things didn't go my way a few times in the short term, in the long run, I'm the one that's left with my head held high and others are left dealing with selfishness and vice and pettiness and so on, which just doesn't comport well. So look, if your lousy boss is going to treat you poorly because you do this kind of stuff that we're recommending in a crisis, he would have done worse to you had you not managed yourself the way we're recommending. That's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of your boss. Okay? Get a different boss then, rather than doing what they say blindly, which is essentially would be coming at your character's expense.
Even if you have the softest, sweetest, most loving boss in the world, you want to follow these steps anyway, right? Continuing to be professional in your behavior will make you feel better and, frankly, less likely worry about your work when you need to be concentrating on other things like getting well.
Exactly.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll finish this up next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.